We spoke yesterday about some of the halachas of matzah, what it means for matzah to be lechem oni, and what the matzah is made from, and we spoke yesterday about the shiurim as well, some of the background behind the different approaches to shiurim, why there might be two kazayis of a matzah, why there might be three matzahs on the table, and why a kazayis might be a double kazayis. Who's concerned? Shkenazi said yesterday, goes back ultimately to what became a stira between Erevin and Psachim. If you're calculating a revius based on length measurements versus volume measurements, you come to two different conclusions, which indicate in Rabbi Yehuda that perhaps the eggs are smaller than they used to be. It indicated to Blazer Fleckles in Rabbi Yehuda's Talmud that it's not that the eggs are smaller than they used to be and we have to double what seems to be a kibetza to the halacha kibetza, but rather that the Rabbi Yehuda's etzbaos were wider than what they normally would be. And that's why you need to, you should leave everything alone. Really, the eggs haven't doubled. Just that when Yehuda did his experimentation, he used his own fingers, his own etzbaos, which were larger than the etzba benunis. So that became the machlokas, whether we say niskatnu hashiurim or not. Should we assume that a kazayas is the size of an olive nowadays? Or is a kazayas the size of two olives nowadays, because olives nowadays are smaller than they used to be? So that's both a historical question, are olives smaller than they used to be? It's also a shaila in din, some posts can raise, and maybe if the olives shrink, maybe the sheer kazayis shrinks also. And so some posts can raise that question. The halacha of Shusinai says kazayis, and the Mishnah and Kalim Perik Zayin says it means zayis benoni, the average size olive. So if the size of olives changes over time, does the halachic shear of kazayis change over time? Is kazayis just a simen that's really a certain number of milliliters? Or that's the siba, the koveya of the shear is whatever the contemporary olive is. Okay, that's why for both those reasons, a suffix, whether kazayis nowadays is the size of volume of a medium-sized olive, which again is actually even smaller than most of the olives that you buy in the store. Most olives you buy in the store are jumbo or extra large. Eggs also, the eggs you buy in the store are not Beit Sabanis. Eggs you buy in the store are large or extra large or jumbo. The medium-sized eggs don't look as nice. So they're used in industrial settings. They're used to make mayonnaise and things like that. So that's the shaila, whether a kazayis is the size of an olive or kazayis is nowadays the size of two nowadays olives. But as the Reshechter points out, Niskana Shur means pishnayim, not pishishim. It means that a kazayis might be really the size of two olives, but not the size of four olives or eight olives or 60 olives. So kazayis may be slightly larger than an olive, and there's a discussion we've shown on whether it makes sense to have two kazayisim, one for motzi and one for matzah, one for sudas yamtef, and the other one for the mitzvah of achilas matzah with Pesach. We discussed yesterday whether the two mitzvahs are integrated or they're two separate mitzvahs, which might call for two separate kazayisim. Okay, so ideally we want to have two kazayisim, and maybe a kazayis is even the size of two olives. In addition to the mitzvah of matzah, which we paskin is d'oraisa even bizman hazeh, even the absence of Karban Pesach, we also have a mitzvah achilas mar, which is d'rabbanan bizman hazeh. The Torah speaks about mar, but the Torah only speaks about mar as a hechshera de pischa. The din d'oraisa of mar is as an accompaniment to Karban Pesach. We eat mar bizman hazeh pasha zecher lemikdash. So what is mar? So the Mishnah, we have a Mishnah in the second parak, a Psachim Perek Kalsha that lists the five minim, the five types of grain that are kosher from matzah, and then the Mishnah goes on to list the five minim, the five species of vegetables which are kosher lemar. And the Gemara goes on to give some of the criteria that a vegetable has to meet in order to be kosher for mar. It's green and sap and so on and so forth. So for many centuries, Ashkenazim were eating horseradish, which was referred to in the halachic literature as tamcha, taf mem chaf aleph, which is one of the five species that appears in the Mishnah. It's not the first one that appears in the Mishnah. It's later in the list. For many centuries, Ashkenazi Jews were living too far north to be able to eat lettuce Pesach time. If lettuce was growing at all that far north, it definitely was not ready so early in the season. And now that we are once again living further south, and thanks to modern advances in food technology and refrigeration and transportation, we're able to enjoy all sorts of fruits and vegetables from all over the world throughout the year. So that's the question, what should Ashkenazim be eating nowadays? Take a look at the Mishnah, Lamatesam Ralph, El Yerakash, Ad Yotzvei, and Dechavasa Pesach, five types of vegetables that a Jew can use for maror, Chazeres, Tamcha, Charchavino, Ulshin, and maror. Five different species. So there's a question whether indeed charein, whether horseradish is tamcha or not. Option number two. Right. So there are many kashas against horseradish. It's not green. I mean, we only eat the green part. It has the green leaves on top. But that's not the part that we eat. And also, it's pasha. It's not bitter. Charein is sharp. It's charif. But it's not maror. Maror means bitter. For the chemists here, sour is acidic and bitter is alkaline. It's a base, a high pH. Horseradish is a different taste. And in any case, even if tamcha is horseradish, tamcha is number two on the list. And the list is in order of priority. Number one, the Rishonim are clear that chazeres is lettuce. Chazeres is lettuce. We show them are clear about this. The Gemara begins to define what each one is. The Gemara says Ulshin is hindavi, which is probably endives, and Chazeres is chasa, which is lettuce, as Rashi tells you, letuga. Chazeres is lettuce. So that's why the pashtus is that lettuce is certainly ideal. Either horseradish is also on the list, but it's less ideal, or horseradish doesn't really fit the criteria for maror. Some suggest for several centuries it was the best that we had. We didn't actually have any of the classic types of maror. So different families have different practices. If the only offering at your Seder is horseradish, you should absolutely eat horseradish. That's your family practice. If you have both options at your Pesach Seder, I would advise eating lettuce. Because ben kovako, if horseradish is tamcha, and lettuce is chazeres, so chazeres is number one on the list. It's the more ideal choice anyhow. When you'll run your own Seder years from now, you'll choose what to serve at your table. At this point, you should eat whatever is offered. If you have an option, so I would eat lettuce. I would not mix the two. I would not mix the two. I would eat a kazayas of lettuce. Afterwards, you can have a kazayas of horseradish also. Why not? That's part of the experience. But certainly, from the terms of the mitzvah rabbanon of maror bizman hazeh, from the mitzvah rabbanon of maror bizman hazeh, lettuce is ideal. If the only option is horseradish, you should definitely be eating horseradish, and you should make sure to do it safely. That means eat small amounts at a time. There's a shita yichida. There's a minority opinion that speaks about having kazayas of matzah bevas achas, having a kazayas of matzah in one swallow. That is not a widely accepted opinion. I do not recommend eating kazayas of matzah in one swallow. If one were to do that, that's on the assumption that a kazayas is small. Sometimes people stand their heads to like fill their mouths with matzah and then swallow down a whole enormous amount. Absolutely not. Not recommended. Not recommended. Certainly not for maror. And certainly not if you're eating charein. Okay, small bits of charein. A kazayis post can write, for matzah and maror, as is the case throughout halacha, achila is defined as kazayis over the course of a kedei achilas pras. You have several minutes. Everything that you chew and swallow over the course of several minutes adds up to the kazayis. What kedei achilas pras is, how long a period of time that is a good question. It's several minutes, maybe 4 minutes, 7 minutes, 9 minutes. Pashas is, the way the Minchas Chinuch describes it, A pras, literally, kedech yos pras is the amount of time it takes to eat a pras, half a loaf. Now, depending on, you put together two different machloks and Tanoim, Rishonim, a pras is between 6 and 12 kazesim. So kazais bechdeich yos pras sounds like a very gradual pace of eating. Eating one kazais over the course of time it takes to eat at least 6 or more kazesim. That sounds very gradual. So many poskim assume that kazais bechdeich yos pras is eating a particular type of food. And matzah takes longer to eat than some other foods. The minchas chinuch of the opinion that kedeach yos pras is, and this is the way Rav Shechter assumes the halacha, as do many others, that kedeach yos pras is defined by the food that you're eating. So if you're eating cookies, it's very easy, as we know from experience, to scarf down cookies very quickly. So then kedeach yos pras for cookies will be a smaller number of minutes. Kedeach yos pras for matzah will be more minutes, because it takes longer to eat kazayis and matzah. So working with that, so if you eat at a normal pace, you're gonna eat a kazayis bechdeich yos pras without any difficulty whatsoever. It means don't stop and get after half a kazayis and get distracted by something. You just eat in a normal fashion, you will have no trouble eating kazayis bechdeich yos pras. That is true for matzah. That is true for mar. I do not recommend being machmir for eating a kazayis bivliya achas, not for matzah, sorry, not for mara. And again, so if you have lettuce, you should use lettuce. If you don't have lettuce, you should use horseradish. And a kazayis, again, a kazayis is an olive or two olives. There's no din of shnei kazayisim for mara. There's no chumra shnei kazayisim for mara. You want to be machmir, you know, you be huda. Okay, so you think about the size of two olives. Not that much. Not that much ground horseradish. Not that much lettuce. You should not, if you're eating horseradish, you should not be eating whole chunks of horseradish. That is a really bad and unsafe idea. You should be eating ground horseradish. And then they dip the matzah in the charosa. They dip the mar, rather, in the charosa, so you shake it off. A charosa is a fascinating sugi in its own right. We're not going to dig into it right now. Those are learning Arvei Pesachim. Charosa is an interesting machlokes in the Mishnah, and two different approaches in the Rambam, and Pirush HaMishnayos, when he was younger, versus the Mishnah Torah when he was older, which is how you work out that machlokas, but the Mishnah and machlokas with charosas is a mitzvah or not. Either way, you have to have charosas. It seems like it's a question whether charosas is just a technical issue to get rid of the bug, to kill the bugs, or to make it otherwise safer, versus it's actually a zecher. That's what we seem to assume. The charosa is a mitzvah, means charosa is not just because of the kafa, but charosa is actually a zecher to various parts of the story. It's part of the chayv adam laharosas atzmo, is the eating charosas. It's a zecher. The Bavli, Rishalmi have different aspects, the Tosis quotes, different aspects of what's a zecher for. It's a zecher for the bricks and mortar, for the mortar that the Jewish people are working, a zecher for the avdus. It's also, and we add wine as a zecher ladam, and then it's also meant to be a positive zecher. Not only is it a zecher to the avdus, but Tosis quotes, it's also a zecher to the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael. That's why Tosis writes in Arvei Pesachim, they quote there, and this gets quoted in Shulchan Aruch, different recipes. Look in the Rishon, with different recipes for what exactly you put into the charosas. Some Rishon are very specific about how you make the charosas. The Rambam has a description of a very svarta charosas with some sort of a date sauce. It describes how you make date sauces. Delicious, very sweet and syrupy. Fantastic. Tosis on Kuf Tezayin Amud Aleph, Dear Maschil Tzarech, he quotes in Yerushalmi more about the Gemara. The Bavli says that you make it somewhat thick, Zecher Latit, and you have, at the same time, you have a Zecher Tapuach, which is either coming from the Tapuach, I add apples, or it's coming Likahuye, there's some sort of acidity, Zecher Tapuach. Now the Tapuach was, why are we making a zecher tapuach? So Rashi says that the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, tachas ha-tapuach or artich, is a zecher to the nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing for the Jews while they were still in Shiva Mitzrayim that enabled them to continue to have children. And the Nisim that enabled Jewish women to conceive and to give birth very easily, Tachas HaTapuch or Artich. And then Tosus goes on to say that some versions of the Charosas also have various fruits. Sorry, the Babli already says you have some spices mixed in, the Zecher Letevin, remind us of the more ingredients that are meant to remind us more about the Golos, more about the Shibutz. That's why you have cinnamon, you have ginger, Zecher Letevin, especially if it's broken up and they sort of jagged, you know, you have long strands of some sort, Zecher Letevin. Tos goes on to quote the Yerushalmi, Zecher Ledam. You add wine at some point. And then, take a quote from the Chuvos HaGaonim, that some had the practice to add various fruits, should nidmin leklal Knesset Yisrael b'shir Hashirim. Various fruits to which Klal Yisrael are comparing Shir Hashirim, tapuach, rimon, te'ena, egos, shkedim. You have apples or citrus fruits, different approaches to tapuach, the pomegranate, dates, egos is walnut, shkedim are almonds. So that's a very positive aspect of zecher. That's a zecher to avas Hashem la'amo. At the same time, it's a fascinating, sort of like matzah. That's paradoxically a mix of both. Zecher to galus we talked about last week, and a zecher l'geula. So the charos says, if you take the approach particularly, that it's charos is a mitzvah that's meant to be a zecher, so it's a very rich, the recipe is a very rich mix, and the symbolism is a very rich mix. A mix of zecher to galus, zecher l'teven, zecher l'tit, zecher l'dam. At the same time, zecher l'tapuach is already the HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking care of us even within the galus, and it's meant to be a zecher beyond to the avas Hashem that became even more fully expressed. We went from galus to geula. That's what some of the fruits in it are for. Different families had different minhagim about charosas. Different rishonim had different minhagim about charosas. So your charosas should include whatever your family practice is. We go on to have arba kosas as well. As we know, we discussed over the last couple of days in the Ian Shurim, according to the Rambam, Heseba and arba kosos are both part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's part of the Chayv Adam Lahar Oses Atzmo. That you demonstrate Cheirus, demonstrate that we're free by drinking a series of toasts through Rav Shalom, a series of Avadim don't sit and drink wine. To be able to drink one kos after another, that's a simon of Cheirus, that's an aspect of Chayv Adam Lahar Oses Atzmo, the kinesthetic, the physical, active telling of the story. The next piece in Briskerov focuses on arba kosos, a long, very rich conversation with arba kosos. But let me give you one piece of what he says. The Gemara says on Kuf Tes, in the discussion after Heseba and Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, the Gemara moves to discussing arba kosos, which also appears in the opening mission of Arba Pesachim. If you happen to have a Gemara, you can open up. If not, not to worry. The Gemara says two ways not to drink the arba kosos. One is don't drink them back to back, and you're supposed to instead have them over the course of the meal in conjunction with the various brachos. You have one for Kiddush, one for the bracha end of Magid, one for benching, one for the bracha at the end of Hallel. And the Gemara says also it shouldn't be, so it should not be that that's the first thing. It shouldn't be bevas achas. They shouldn't be back to back. They have to be in each one in its position over the course of the meal. The Gemara also says it can't be shesa'an chai. It can't be raw. This is not really relevant to us nowadays because modern winemaking is different than winemaking of antiquity. But in the Tkufas HaChazal, if you're really interested in researching Greco-Roman winemaking, the wine was very, very heavy. I believe the issue was not a very high alcohol content because fermentation shuts down when the alcohol content reaches around 14% or 16%. I think the issue though was it must have been very syrupy. So they would dilute the wine. It was not really good to drink. It wasn't really tasty if it was drunk straight. So they would dilute the wine. It was mostly water. Either two parts water to one part wine or three parts water to one part wine. They would dilute the water a lot with dilute the wine a lot with water. So the Gemara says, another one of the dinim of Arba Kosos, you shouldn't drink it chai. You shouldn't drink it raw, meaning undiluted, uncut. It has to be mazug, it has to be mixed with water. Again, for our wines are made differently. It's not relevant, because our wines are drinkable out of the bottle, because wine is made differently b'zman hazeh. But it is an indication that high alcohol content is definitely not necessary or even expected. Because if they were diluting their wine with so much water, I mean, clearly by the time they were drinking it, it had a pretty low alcohol content. And that's what we recommend b'zman hazeh as well, to drink, for Arba Kosos, to drink low alcohol content wine. The question is, why are these no good? So different gersos. Gemara says shasan chai is you yotze this but not that. If you drink it undiluted, if you drink it bevas achas, all the cups one after the other, you yotze this but not that. So the different gersos, and what's the this and what's the that. So Briskerov points out that the Rambam and the Rif, their gersa is as follows. Listen carefully. If you drink it undiluted, your yotze Arba Kosos, but not Cheirus. If you drink it undiluted, you're yotze drinking your four Kosos, but you weren't yotze Cheirus. You weren't yotze freedom. If you drink them bevas achas, one after the other, instead of organized over the course of the Seuda, so then the Rif, the Rambam say the reverse. You're yotze Cheirus, but not Arba Kosos. You're yotze freedom, but you weren't yotze Arba Kosos. What does any of that mean? So Biskrav explains, what this means is there are two dinim in Arba Kosos. There are two aspects to what you're fulfilling with Arba Kosos. One is cheirus. It's a depiction of freedom, meaning this is exactly what we discussed, what we explored with Haseba. Both Haseba and Arba Kosos are part of Chayv Adam Laharis Azatzmak, Yosa Atim Mishib Mitzrayim. It's a physical expression of cheirus. So that's what the Gemara Briskerov suggests. So the Rif and Rambam's gears in the Gemara understands to be cheirus. The chayva maharus is atzma. So that you only do if you're drinking good wine. If you're drinking it mazug, you're drinking it diluted. If you drink it straight undiluted, you drink it chai. If you're drinking bad wine, so then the type of wine that's not meant for drinking. So there's no cheirus. I mean, there's no chayva maharus atzma. You're not mekayim sipri tzias esrayim. But you were Mekayim the technical din of Dalet Kosos. What does that mean? Well, let's look at the other din. If you drank Bevas Achas, if you didn't drink them over the course of the meal, then the Gemara says, well, you were Yotze Cheirus. Now it's the reverse. You were Yotze Cheirus, but not Dalet Kosos. What does that mean? Well, you drank fine wine. Okay, you drank drinkable wine, so that's Cheirus. Chayvam Laharus Asmo. But it wasn't Dalet Kosos. Meaning, what's missing? You didn't say El Seder HaBrachas. In other words, there's a din d'oraisa according to Rambam of Chayav Adam Laharos Azatzmo. Chazal mandated one of the ways to fulfill that physical kinesthetic CPTS Hashraim is through the drinking of some wine, Leil HaSeder, in a noble, aristocratic, dignified fashion. But specifically, the takana they set up was not time to drink wine, but to have four koso shel bracha. Four brachas al hakos. Not time to drink wine, but to drink wine. We know that that's a concept elsewhere halacha as well. You can elevate a bracha, you can make a bracha more significant, you can highlight a bracha by saying it over a kos. That's what we do for Kiddush every Shabbos Yantam. That's what we do for Havdalah. That's what we do under the chuppah. That's what we do at a bris. A bracha al hakos. Not every bracha is al hakos. Most brachas you say are not al hakos, obviously. But there is a notion, certain brachas get this upgrade of bracha al hakos. That's a discussion about benching. Is benching supposed to be al hakos or not? We assume the halacha, benching does not need to be al hakos. We assume the halacha that one can, and we usually are, yotze benching without a kos, but if you have a kos, so that adds to the significance of the bracha. It elevates it, gives it, highlights it by making a bracha al hakos. So chazal or masake, not stam that leil haseder, you should drink wine, but leil haseder, you should have four kosos shel bracha. So the Kiddush ala kos. So that's the way Kiddush always is. The bracha asher ga'alanu, the bracha that closes Magid and the beginning of Hallel, al hakos. Don't just say the bracha, you say it al hakos. Again, we say many brachas shalom al hakos. We don't have a kos for al achilas matzah, we don't have a kos for al achilas marar, but we do have a kos for Kiddush, we have a kos for asher ga'alanu, we have a kos for benching, even though we hold that all year long you can bench without a kos, but Leil HaSeder you have to bench al hakos. And finally, the bracha that closes Hallel is also ala kos. And ideally, you say the whole halal over the kos. And that's because the takana of arba kosos was, according to the Rif of the Rambam, to express chayrus, to chayvan laharos asasun, to express chayrus through drinking kosos shel bracha. So it's two different dinim, and that's why if you drank a series of kosos, but you didn't spread them over the course of the meal, so yidei cheirus yatsa, you had cheirus, it's an expression of cheirus, but you didn't have dal kosos. You didn't have kosos or bracha. And the reverse, if you drank yayin chai, if you drank wine that's not really meant for drinking, you had your four kosos or bracha, but it wasn't cheirus. It wasn't a respectable drinking that would express B'nei Chorin, they would express Chayvan Maharis as Asma. That's why Tosus also says, on the opening Amud of the Perek, the opening Amud of Arvei Pesachim, that even though that the rules of Arba Kosos, Shtias Arba Kosos, are different than drinking Kosha Bracha all year long. For instance, we usually assume that for Kosha Bracha, strictly speaking, not everyone has to be drink in order to be Yotzei. One person makes Kiddush, some have a chumra to try to have a sip of the wine, but strictly speaking, as long as one person drinks from the kosher bracha, everyone who listens to the bracha is yotze. But Tosus has a discussion. How about Leil HaSeder? Can you have just the Baal HaSeder? He says Kiddush over his cup and he drinks and we're all yotze by listening. He'll say Asher Galanu over his cup. We'll all be yotze through listening. Or no. Maybe Leil HaSeder is different. Everyone has to drink. It's a mitzvah. It's a din of shtia. It's not only kol shel bracha. One of the aspects is kol shel bracha. But there's also a din of shtia. What do you mean there's also a din of shtia? Bitzkrub says, that's what the Rambam and the Rif are talking about. Daf kuf chesam ebeiz. Arba kosos is the din of arba kosos. That's a din of kol shel bracha. So for kol shel bracha, it's enough to have one person drink. And by the way, but for cheirus, for chayvan maharis as asmo, could be every person needs personally to drink. Everyone has to eat matzah. Everyone, or at least every male, has to do a seba. And everyone, men and women, have to actually do a shtia from the dal kosos. That's also why another difference is for kosher bracha, it's enough to have a taste, enough to have a melo lugmav. One person has to taste a melo lugmav. That's a gemara, the first half of Arvei Pesachim. But for arba kosos, Rishonim suggest, you may actually have to have a revius, or at least rove revius. Why? Because it's not enough just to have a kosher bracha, where it's basically bracha ala kos. Basically, I'm saying the bracha over the cup. Here, it's actually a din shtia. You have to drink. Why? Because that's cheirus. That's the chayvan laharos es atzma. As an aside, in terms of shiurim of the kos does not have to be so big. The kos does not have to be so big. Half a cup is already more than enough for the kos. Pashtus is, the revius is three and a half fluid ounces. That's not so big. That's not so big. That's half of an 8-ounce cup. You fill up however big your kos, your becher is, and often people buy somewhat smaller bechers for Leil HaSeder for this reason. One does a shtia on the kos, which can either be drinking the whole kos, or that may be a little too much alcohol at one time. Sometimes that could be a problem later on. You want to be very sharp to fully appreciate the hakaya, to be foozled, to be getting tired by the time you come to Hallel. Hallel is supposed to be the climax of the whole evening. Gemara describes in our Masechta, the days of Beis HaMikdash, Kazesa Pischa V'Halela Paka Igra. You had your whole Seder on the ground floor because you eaten Karm Pesach. The Kedushas Yerushalayim with respect to eating Kachem Kalam is Dafka on the ground level. But then afterwards, people go up to the rooftops and they would, Halela Paka Egra, there would be Hallel being sung all of Yerushalayim on the rooftops. you would clear out the first floor for the next round of people eating Karban Pesach. And the Halel HaPakeh Irga, the Hallel was breaking the roofs. There were rooftop kumzitzes throughout Yerushalayim, the halachic rooftop kumzitz. The Hallel is supposed to be the putting it all together. You see Pritzias Mitzrayim and the eating the matzah, the Mar Halel by Karban Pesach, and all feeds into the Shira, the Hallel, which climaxes, which crescendos the whole evening. You don't want to be half asleep by Hallel. So, often we recommend Rubu Kukulo. Drink Rov HaKos. However big your kos is, have a little more than 50% of the kos, Behaseba, and your Yotze, all the aspects, the Cheiros, and the Dal Kosos. Malolugmav is not enough, but Rov Revius and Rov HaKos is sufficient. So those are some of the Dinam of Matzah, some of the Dinam of Mar, some of the Dinam of Charoses, some of the Dinam of Arba Kosos. The second night of Pesach, we begin the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. Maybe we'll hold off on discussion of Sfiras HaOmer until after Yom Tov, and have a chance when we come back from Yom Tov to dive into the sugya of Sfiras HaOmer. Very, very beautiful, rich sugyas of Sfiras HaOmer. Very fascinating. There's a tremendous amount of lumdus, remarkable amount of lumdus in Sfiras HaOmer. Very, very beautiful, sweet lumdus. They're very intertwined with the halacha l'maisa. Billy Neder will return to Sfiras HaOmer after Yom Tov. Let's talk Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed is a concept in HaTorah. Psukim speak about Chol HaMoed, as we know, obviously. There is a machlokas whether there's an Iser Melacha min HaTorah. Psukim are clear that Chol HaMoed is a part of the Yom Tov. Chol HaMoed, you have to bring karbanos. The Karbanos Musaf on Chol HaMoed, that's obviously a Din D'oraisa. But a question is the Isur Malacha. The Mishnayos tell us that Malacha is somewhat Asur on Chol HaMoed. That's the first two Prakim of Mishnayos and Gemara. The first two Prakim of Maseches Moed Katan are by the Isur Malacha on Chol HaMoed. They're definitely, Halacha is an Isur Malacha, and it definitely is very limited. There are a number of exceptions, number of heterim in the Isur Malacha, above and beyond the heter of Ochal Nefesh that you have on Yom Tov. If it's to avoid a loss, Davar Ha'aved is mutter, Tzarech Rabim is mutter, Tzarech Hayom is often mutter, at least to do non-professional work. If I need something for today, I'm going to drive somewhere because I need to be somewhere. I'm driving because we're going on a trip, so I'm going to drive to the zoo. I'm going to drive to the aquarium. I'm going to drive to the hike. I'm going to drive to apple picking, whatever it is that we're doing. You're going to driving a car, a gas-powered car, is thousands of malachas daraisa. It's not ochel nefesh. It's not mutter to drive a car on Yom Tov, but it is mutter to drive a car on Chol HaMoed. Tzarech Hayom. There are a number of heterim in the Easter of Melechas Chol HaMoed. So many heterim that drives a machlokas or rishonim is Melechas Chol HaMoed. So many exceptions. How could that be? So that led the Bali Atosis to assume that the Holy Sim Lechaz Chol HaMoed is only Midrabanan. So, Hey Mamru, Hey Mamru. Chazal created an Isser Drabanan of Lechaz Chol HaMoed. So, Hey Mamru. If they created it, they create the legislation that they're able to build it to design however they wanted. The whole din is a din Drabanan. So, Chazal decided to create an Isser Melechaz Chol HaMoed and to build in a variety of kulos. The sort of kulos, like Davar Ha'aved and Tzarech Hayom Tzas, it's a Tzarchei Rabim that you would not expect to find as Heterim to an Isser D'oraisa. The rules seem very Drabanan style. So that's the approach of the Chachmei Ashkenaz. The Bali Atosos generally hold Melechat Chol HaMoed is Isser Drabanan. The Chachmei Svarad, by and large, held that Melechat Chol HaMoed is an Isser D'oraisa. I have all these exceptions. So the Ran says that the Ran writes. So again, sorry for that technical break. I think Baruch Hashem we're back now. So again, the Chachmei Ashkenaz say Melechat Chol HaMoed is Drabanan. That's why you have all these exceptions. The Chachmei Sfarad say no, the Isur Melechat Chol HaMoed is Daraisa. The Machlok is actually rooted in how you read a Gemara. Ironically, not Moed Katan, even though I told you Melechat Chol HaMoed is the topic of Maseches Moed Katan, specifically the first two Prakim Moed Katan. Third parak is mostly about Avelus. The first two Prakim Moed Katan are about Melechat Chol HaMoed. But it's actually a question how you read a Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Yud Ches or so. Tosas there discuss, the Chachmei Svar discuss. Does the Gemara indicate that the Melechus Chalmor is Daraisa? If it's Daraisa, why do you have all these exceptions? Lo Masara Kasav El Chachamim. That's what the Chachmei Svar would say. The Torah gave, based on the Gemara, that the Torah gave it over to Chazal to determine the rules. Not that the Torah did not impose it in Melechus, Isser Melechus Chalmor at all, and Chazal imposed it, no. The Torah implies that there is an Isser Melechus Chol Moed. It's what the Ran writes about Sha'ari Nu Yom Kippur as well. The Isser Vechitza and Sicha and wearing shoes and so forth, intimacy. So there too, the Baya Tosfos say that those Isurim are additionally Isurim Midrabanan. And the Sfaradim say, no, that's an Isser Daraisa. There are so many exceptions there as well. You can wash your hands if it's dirty and so on and so forth. So the Ran writes in the first Amud and the Rif in Yuma Aleph is a Lamasa Kav Zal Chachamim. It's an Issa Daraisa, but it's so intentionally, it's so obviously left vague that the implication is that Chazal are meant to figure out what are the parameters. Whatever they will set up as parameters become a Din Daraisa. It's a very fascinating idea. So the parameters are Drabanan in authorship, but Daraisa in force. So be that as it may, Machlokas Rishonim, whether Isra Melechus Chol Moed is Daraisa or Drabanan, the Sfaradim hold is Daraisa, Ashkenazim hold is Drabanan. Either way, there is an Isra of Melechus Chol Moed, with many exceptions, but beyond those exceptions, Chol Moed is Asur Melechi. Take a look here on the screen. Page Simon Tov Kuf Lamed, the opening Simon in Arachayim Hilchas Chol Moed. If you're looking at Mishnah Berurah, it's the first page in the Chelek Vav. Chelek Vav begins with Hilchus Chol Moed in the first siman. Shulchan Aruch says, "Yosur b'miksas malachas Chol Moed, Yosur b'miksas malachas mutar b'miksasan." He says, "Chol Moed, there's a limited Isur malacha." And the Rama, presenting the Sfaradi approach, he says, "Lafi tzarcha inyan shayenir lachacham malahatir." It all depends on what the chachamim set up. But whatever they wanted to be matir, they were matir. Okay. Now the Mishnah Berurah goes on to lay out various categories of when Melechus Chol Moed is mutter. Anything that's a tzorach hayom, certainly non-professional work, that's a tzorach hayom. If it's davar ha'aved, if it's to prevent a loss, whether that means that something's broken in the house, if you don't fix it, it's going to get worse. Or it means you have a client, and if you don't attend to your client over the course of Chol Moed, you may lose that account. Various forms of davar, and then there are various other kulos as well. But I really want to highlight for you, it's not so much a din of melacha, but a mitzvah's asay, a positive aspect. The Mishnah Berurah here quotes from the Mishnah in Avos, Hamevaza es Hamodos. The Mishnah speaks very severely about someone who's mevaza chol hamoed, who doesn't show kavod to Chol Moed. What does that mean? So, part of that, the way, how do you show kavod to Chol Moed? B'machal b'mishta uksus nekiya, food and drink, and beautiful clean clothes. Shlo yinag b'minachal, not to treat them like a regular weekday. So he goes on to quote the Maharil. So what does that mean? In terms of food, what does that mean in terms of clothing? Let's look specifically at clothing. So Maharil says, Maharil's practice was, he quotes, Maharil lavash haketa, sounds like a kittel, shal Shabbos. Maharil wore his Shabbos begadim. That's what it sounds like. He wore one Shabbos begadim, wore full big day Shabbos. And that is the practice among Chassidim, generally, is to wear full big day Shabbos, not only Shabbos Yontif, but Chol Moed as well. However, the Mishnah Berurah explains that is not required Me'ikra Din. We should be looking at Sharat Zion, the Mishnah Berurah's own footnotes on himself. Oz Dalet over here takes you down to long Oz Dalet. It's usually a Sharat Zion. The Mishnah Berurah's footnotes are usually very brief. A couple of lines says, oh, look in the Magen Avraham, look here, look there. It usually gives you sources. But here he has a lengthy discussion about this. The gist of what he says is that whether or not Chol Moed is has an Isser Melacha min haTorah, definitely has standing min haTorah, and it's important to be involved in Kavod HaMoed. But he says that there is no Chiyuv to wear Big Day Shabbos and Chol Moed. Take a look. He says from the Mechilta that he quoted, the Medrash Halacha, Tzarech lachabdo achilo shtiyak sus nakiya, or we read before, you have to show kavod to Chol Moed with the way you eat and drink, and with the clothing. Yesh lomar, says, Mishmur says, you know what that means? Lachabdo yosim osachal. You have to show it more kavod than a typical weekday. Be'enu mechuyv ledamoso lagamri, b'zeh le'yom tov. You're not mechuyv to treat the same as Yom Tov? He says that's both true on the eating and drinking side and on the clothing side. Here after the bracket, v'cho'amoid, ein mechuyv lechol pas. You're not mechuyv to wash. Yom Tov is mechuyv to wash for every suit, nighttime suit, the daytime suit. But Chalma, you don't have to wash. If you want to wash, you can. You should say Yav Yavel. That's why the Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos that you don't go back for Yav. If you left a Yav Yavel on Yom Tov, you have to repeat benching. You left a Yav Yavel on Chalma, you do not repeat benching. Why? Because on Yom Tov, you're mechuyv to apas, you're mechuyv to bench. So the Yav Yavel is required and ma'akev on Yom Tov. But since on Chalma, you're not mechuyv to wash in the first place, so even if you did choose to wash for a Chol Moed meal, obviously you're supposed to say Alviavo, but if you didn't say Alviavo, you do not have to repeat the benching on Chol Moed, because again, washing, benching, bread is not required on Chol Moed. It's not the same as Yom Tov. After Tzarech Lechavdu Achila, you have to show kavod to Chol Moed the way you eat. It's not the same level as Yom Tov. You have something nice to eat. Certainly don't fast, have something you enjoy, but you're not mechuyev to wash in the way that you are mechuyev to wash on Yom Tov. And then he says, malacha also. Who adin liyim malacha? We refrain from malacha somewhat on the Chol Moed, but far, far more limited. Davar avid is mutter. And then he says, al kainir avlin ksus nekiya. Bishop Bruce says he thinks even in terms of clothing, you don't have to wear a full big day Shabbos Yom Tov the way one does on Shabbos Yom Tov. You don't have to wear big day Shabbos. It should be a half a notch more than during the week. And then he says in the brackets, he says the Maglev Ram indicates like this later on in Aruch Chaim Siman Tov Reish Samach Daled. Then he says, I the Maharil, whom we have quoted, David, my real war big day Shabbos. Then Ashehu David. That was his own personal chumrah. His own personal chumrah. Not mechuyev to wear big day Shabbos. So that's a minhag by Hasidim. They wear big day Shabbos and chumrah. Good. That's certainly meaningful minhag, but absolutely not obligatory. But Yosef me'achol bevaday tzarcha adam linhog. Mishmur says, however, you're not mechuyev to wear big day Shabbos on chumrah, but you are mechuyev to dress in a more respectable fashion than during the week. So for starters, it means you should not be dressed less respectably than during the week. L'chol ha'pachas. It cannot be, the big day Shabbos cannot be less than a big day Chol Moed, excuse me, definitely cannot be less than a big day Tuesday. If a Jew dresses differently when he's at work and when he's not at work, if a Jew dresses differently when he's at school and when he's not at school, a davar pasha that Chol Moed has to be at least the mechubad dik of big day chol. Plus, big day Chol Moed should be more than school clothing. Big day Chol Moed should be more than work clothing. Al pi pashtas. It has to be nicer than big day chol. A ben Torah should not be wearing a t-shirt on Chol Moed. Again, if you're going to play ball, you put on a t-shirt to play ball. But the rest of the day, if you're going hiking, obviously you have to wear hiking appropriate clothing. Even if you're going hiking, I think it makes sense. I don't know if it's Mechuyev Nikra Din, but I think it makes sense. A Jew goes hiking in Chol Moed, which is a marvelous thing to do. On a whole lot of levels, to go hiking in Chol Moed is a marvelous thing to do. So maybe wear a polo shirt instead of a t-shirt. Not a bad idea. Wear a white polo and go hiking. Could be just as comfortable. You're not going to wear your Shabbos shoes when you go hiking. Obviously, you wear hiking boots or whatever you usually wear when you go hiking. And certainly when you're not doing anything strenuous, and you're not playing ball, and you're not going hiking, when you're out and about, the street clothes on Chol Moed have to be a half a notch higher than the street clothes during the week. Certainly no less than school clothing or work clothing. And there should be half notch higher. Again, not mechuyev to wear big deshavas, big deyantav. Some have that practice. If you have that practice, that's your family minig, by all means. But the Mishnah Berurah is very clear. That is a chumrah. That's absolutely not mikra din. But mikra din, the Mishnah Berurah says, is to be half a notch higher, to notch it up somewhere in between the big day chol and the big day Shabbos. So you can figure out what that means, whether it's a nicer shirt than during the week, or whether it means I wear the same shirt and pants as during the week, but I wear nicer shoes. If it is me, I wear a jacket. There are different flavors. There are a lot of different ways that you could be mekayim big day chol hamoed. There is no, unlike chayavam laharos hazatzmo, which we were discussing yesterday in Ian's shir, there is no formal takana in terms of which of the ways of notching up your clothing, lakavit chol hamoed, you should choose. So you could think about that. But that is a real din. That is a real din. You're not mechuyev to wear big day Shabbos and chol hamoed, but you are mechuyev lechabdo. You're mechuyev to mechabe chol hamoed, you're not to be mevaza chol hamoed, not to show it a lack of kavod. And the kavod chol hamoed is said. Kavod chol hamoed is in eating something nice, eating and drinking something nice, not mechuyev to wash like on Yom Tov, but mechuyev to have something nice to eat. And when you're not doing, when you're not playing ball, you should be sai when you're in shul, and sai when you're home, and sai when you're out and about going out with friends, whatever you're doing, you're seeing, learning, whatever Jew is doing over the course of Chol Moed, it should be with a Big Day Chol Moed. That's a level. Big Day Chol Moed is a level in between Big Day Chol and Big Day Shabbos, Big Day Shabbos V'Yom Tov. So that's an important din to stay aware of. And of course, the Mishnah Berurah goes on to say that Lo Nitnu Moedos, that you should spend time Chol Moed in Simchas Haguf, and you should spend time Chol Moed in Simchas HaNefesh. Also a sugi Maseches Pesachim. Chetzi L'Hashem v'Chetzi L'Lachem. He quotes from other Mamorei Chazal about Chol Moed in particular. Chol Moed is meant for learning. Chol Moed should be an opportunity to learn. Ben Torah, who spends many hours learning over the course of a regular week, so it's an opportunity to recharge your batteries as well, and to relax, spend time with family, to invest in family time, and to invest in some added forest bathing, some added time. Forest bathing is a Japanese term for, getting your body out into the forest, dressed in your hiking clothing, dressed in your hiking boots, but spending added outdoor time in the outdoors. All very important, particularly if we've been on so much Zoom and so much quarantine. Very important, very healthy to get outside. Very important, very healthy to have downtime, and very important, very healthy to think, to dream ambitiously about learning goals over the course of Chol Moed. That's what the Mishnah Berurah here. Let's take a look. That's what he says right here. He goes on to talk about here Sifkat and Beis in the Mishnah Berurah. He says, you have a question about Melachas Chol Moed, ask a shayla. He says, Yerushalmi, a remarkable phrase, remarkable statement. One of the Amoraim said, I wish we could, if I had the power to cancel Chol Moed, I would cancel Chol Moed, send everyone back to work. He says, why? Because people aren't using the free time that we're supposed to. People get themselves into trouble. He said, what's supposed to happen, the second line, we got Chol Moed Kadeshu Ochlin Vishosin Yegain Batorah. The ideal Chol Moed is a mixture of Ochlin Vishosin, of physical enjoyment, and Yegain Batorah. Spiritual growth. Spiritual, physical simcha, spiritual simcha. Chetzel Hashem, Chetzel Lachem. Eat and drink, and I would say spend time with the family, relax, enjoy, and Yegain Batorah. Chetzel Hashem, Lachem, Chetzel Lachem. But now, Ochlin Vishosin Pochazin. People eat and drink, and then they just waste their time. And they get themselves into, some people get themselves into spiritual trouble over the course of Chol Moed. So the Rav Abba Mamel says, if I would have the power, obviously he didn't have the power, but he said, if I would have the power to cancel Chol Moed, he said, try and say hyperbolically, in other words, Chol Moed is meant, we have Chol Moed off in order to use the time in this more ideal fashion. So that's very important. We're not canceling Chol Moed, Baruch Hashem. But you should ochel v'shosim yegain b'torah. Should enjoy creature comforts of the in a proper holy way of the course of Chol Moed. Ochel v'shosim. should have good meals, kashrut Pesach, good meals, and time with family, and get outside, and relax, and enjoy. Do some glass blowing, do some apple picking, do some hiking. Wholesome, healthy simchas haguf, together with wholesome, healthy simchas hanefesh, yigein b'torah. That is the recipe for an ideal chol moed. That's the recipe for a chol moed that's an inflection point. A chol moed that takes all the growth of the last zman, the winter zman, and it gives you a chance to recharge in a way that gets us ready for even greater growth in the summer zman. Even all the hard work and all the ups and downs and all the holy hasmada and all the holy shvitz of growing over the course of winter's man, the right type of a yomtiv, the right type of chol moed, sets us up for great growth, a chance to recharge, a chance to reconnect with family, a chance to recharge our batteries, get outside, do some hiking, and a focus on learning, a different schedule certainly of learning than during the zman. That is as it's supposed to be, not the same schedule learning as during this month, not the same focus in terms of what I'm learning as during this month, not the same stress during this month, absolutely, but a proper wholesome mix of physical and spiritual simcha, of a proper wholesome mix of recharging and ambitiously learning over the course of Chol HaMoed, with Kavod HaMoed, with Digdei Chol HaMoed, in a way that then sets us up for a comeback, refresh, recharge, and with renewed focus in the summer's month, in Sfiras HaOmer and beyond.